Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Chad Keats, African herpetologist at Rhodes University. Very good afternoon, Chad.
Good afternoon.
And firstly, thank you for making time. And crazy subject. It's something that obviously you know about, something I know nothing about, I must admit, is snakes. And quite a topic this. And maybe we can kick off at what's happening in KwaZulu-Natal that we're getting all this sort of publicity about black mambas and what's happening there.
Well, so it's happening all over the country. It's not just KZN. It's the change of the season. Obviously, because snakes are reptiles and they're ectothermic, that means they're cold-blooded. As they start to heat up, they start to move. And what they're moving for often is for food. So the food starts to move and they start to move. So it's got nothing to do with humans. It's got everything to do with the environment and their desire to live. So obviously they need to sit in the sun to warm up. So the sun's coming out, they're enjoying that. And the mice and the rodents are moving. So they're keen to get some food.
So if they're looking for rodents, let's say, why are they coming into your home?
Well, because humans are the ultimate bringer of rodents. If it wasn't for humans, there wouldn't be any snakes around us. But unfortunately, many of the large venomous snakes that occupy our country, they're after big prey. And because humans bring a lot of trash, brings a lot of big rodents, and when you think about it from the snake's perspective, if they're looking in the wild, they're going to catch some play rats, things like that. They're quite small. They're very smart. But the rats that live around houses are very kind of, they're fat, they're lethargic, and they take things for granted. So they're quite an easy meal for a black mamba or a Cape cobra. So they like to come close to humans mainly because we bring the food straight to them.
Well, that's quite an interesting point. So, okay, so what happens? I don't have a snake catcher on speed dial. So, yeah. I mean, what happens in the event that I see something and identify it as a snake, but I've got no idea. It's gone up into the ceiling, like what's just happened in Natal now. What do I do? I don't want to phone someone and make this a whole big thing. Meanwhile, it's a harmless little brown snake or something.
Okay, so the best thing to do, so the general rule of thumb, basically the world over, is that if you see a snake, the best thing you can do is keep your eye on it, and you give your local snake catcher a call. The numbers are pretty easy to come by. If you use the African Snake Bite Institute app, there's actually an ability to look for the closest snake catcher to you by geographical location. So we register on that app, and depending on where you are, you can find the number and you phone them. And if you stay more than 5 meters away from any venomous snake in the whole country, you're completely safe. Even from the spitting cobras, the ring cobras, they can't actually navigate that gap. If you don't corner the snake, you don't make the snake feel agitated or try to catch or to hurt yourself, the snake is very, very, very unlikely to move in any direction close to you. So the best thing to do is keep your eye on it, phone a snake catcher, and they can safely and professionally relocate that animal.
I've also, Chad, heard in the past that people have phoned the local police when they have just panicked, you know. What would the police do in such a, would they bring a snake catcher with them, or what would happen?
Well, so it depends on the scenario. So the best thing you can do if you can't get all the snake catchers is to phone either the fire department or the police station, and they'll either put you in contact with a snake handler. Or sometimes the policeman themselves can also have someone on standby that works for them that knows how to catch snakes. So in order to be a snake catcher, it's not exactly a very hard thing. You can do a course, and then you can get your own snake handling equipment and you can do it yourself. Many, if not most of the snake catchers around the country, do it as a side hustle. It's a hobby. You kind of do it to help out, be better for society. So if it's the end of work or someone's got like a spare time, you phone them and they'll come help you out. Very few snake catchers actually do it as a full-time job. So for me specifically, I'm a herpetologist, so I work as a scientist. And when someone phones me with a problem, I'll come and help them if I've got time. But because there's so many snake catchers all over the country at any given time, you're always likely to find one. And you'll be surprised. Even these small little towns in the middle of nowhere, they have a few snake catchers.
Hi, Chad. It's Robin. I'm going to jump in.
Okay.
Nice to, fascinated by this conversation. So I do a lot of hiking, and often on a trail, we will encounter a snake where there's absolutely no signal, no one anywhere around, and we all just freak out. You'd think after this, all this time, we would have like researched and, but what do you do if you know that there's no one around to help and you can't identify what kind of snake it is? So obviously stay away, but what other advice would you give?
So you're talking about if you encounter a snake in a wild setting?
Yes.
So ideally in a wild setting, you just give the snake space and the snake will move off. There's no issues whatsoever. So like the same thing applies to suburban areas as it does to the wild. You give the snake more than 5 meters, it's going to move away very happily. They're not going to close that gap. Snakes only hurt people when people try to hurt them. That's why statistically speaking, most snake bites happen if people try to kill them. you don't try to get close to a snake, the snake can't bite you.
But
so
a
if
chance?
You get snake in a lot, yes?
Sorry. Yes, no, sorry, I interrupted you. Apologize. Just on Robin's topic there. So you're walking, you're going on a hike and you stand on a snake. It's in thick bush. What would happen then? So in the event that you actually look down and you're standing now on a snake.
Oh, okay, so let's say you're staying on the snake. If you're staying on the snake, best thing you can do is slowly remove your foot or your body part from the animal and slowly move away. Fast gesture movements is going to antagonize them. So they view you as a predator. You are a much bigger animal to them. So that's why when you move fast around them, they kind of freak out. But if you move slowly off away from them, they're very, very unlikely to bite. But if you step on a snake and it does bite you, the best thing you can absolutely do is you go straight to hospital. That is the best thing you can do. There's a lot of old wives' tales. There's a lot of myths about what you should and should not do. Your hospital is your best bet. Your closest hospital is your absolute best bet. You don't need to concern yourself with which hospital does or does not have antivenom. Just get to the closest hospital, and once you're there, you've got a very, very, very good chance of surviving. The people that unfortunately succumb to snake bites, a lot of them don't do the right thing. They don't go to hospital as soon as they can. But if you go to hospital, you have a very, very good chance.
And Chad, if you've sort of seen something and you felt it, it's bitten you and it's disappeared. So obviously there are no photographs, so there's nothing. You arrive at the hospital and you say, I've been bitten by something. Would they be able to identify firstly that it is a snake bite and what type of snake?
Yeah, so actually that's also another thing that's very important to note. It doesn't actually get discussed much in the media, but the way they treat snake bites at hospitals is symptomatically. So they'll treat you based on your symptoms. And they actually, if you went to a hospital and you said I was bitten by a snake and you got it wrong and they treated you based on the snake, but on what you had to say, they can actually harm you more. So often at most hospitals, they treat you symptomatically because most times they don't actually have to give you antivenom. Certain bites require antivenom, certain bites don't. It's very case by case specific. So if a snake bites you and you don't know what it is and you go to hospital, you're going to be fine. The doctors will treat you symptomatically and in time they'll figure out what kind of bite it was because the way that venom works, the way that anti-venom works specifically is that there's about 17, 18 odd snakes in the country that might require anti-venom. 17 of those require one type of anti-venom, and only the worm stung has its own specific anti-venom. So that should put your mind at ease knowing that whether it's a black mamba, it's a puff adder, it's a cave cobra, any of those big nasty venomous snakes, they all require the same anti-venom. So in the end of the day, it's the symptoms that you display on the day after the bite that tells a doctor how to treat you, whether you're going to get a saline drip, you're going to get antivenom, how much antivenom, what's going to happen. So you really don't need to concern yourself with trying to catch a snake or ID the snake because that can take precious time away from getting to hospital. Often guys try to catch the snake or kill the snake to take it with them, and they get bitten 2, 3, 4 more times, which is this is not great at all. The best thing you can do is get to hospital, and that's what most really good doctors will tell you the same thing. Hospital is your best bet.
I think that was such great advice. Chad, you've helped me a lot because I don't profess to know much more, but at least I know the basic sort of do's and don'ts. And Chad Keats, African herpetologist at Rhodes University. Chad, thank you so much for just giving us that advice.